A draft constitution for the European Union was unveiled today in Brussels. It calls for a full-time president elected by the member governments, and it's to be debated this week by 105 members of the Convention on the Future of Europe. The convention drew up the constitution. It's chaired by former French President Valéry Giscard d'Estaing. And we turn now to Brussels and reporter Brandon Michener of the Wall Street Journal for a sense of what this document would do and also what it would not do. First, Brandon Michener, how would this constitution actually change the European Union?
Well, this constitution is designed to make the European Union more efficient and more comprehensible above all, and at the same time prepare the Union to admit 10 more countries to the existing 15 as of next May.
The presidency, how much of a change would that be to have someone who is the president of Europe and doing so full time?
Well, for most people in Europe, it wouldn't make much of a difference. But for Europe's partners in the world, including the United States, it could be a big change. Right now, the Union has a sort of rotating six-month presidency, meaning that the man that the or woman that President Bush would want to talk to changes every 6 months, and the result being that he basically doesn't talk to the EU that much. He'll talk to national leaders like Tony Blair or Gerhard Schröder in Germany. If the Union had its own full-time presidents, they say that this would basically give the Union that phone number to call that Henry Kissinger was asking for years and years ago.
What changes did Giscard and company not include in this draft constitution?
Well, it's not quite as ambitious as some of the initial drafts or the earlier drafts of the Constitution. At one point, they were talking of an absolute abandonment of national vetoes in EU policy, but there will still be vetoes in tax policy and a lot of aspects of foreign policy. It also doesn't have a real president in the U.S. style elected for a long term, like 5 years. This will be a sort of more like a chairman who will be elected for 2.5 years and maybe renewable, and whose main job will be to run the committees that take the EU's major decisions.
And there are some words that were certainly not to the liking of British Prime Minister Blair, and they were not used.
Well, the word federal is regarded in England as the F word. To American ears, federal means that most of the power, or some of the power at least, remains in the hands of the individual states. In Britain, it means exactly the opposite. It means a centralized sort of super state government, and that's something that they are adamantly against in Europe.
You say one of the aims of a draft constitution is to make the European Union comprehensible to the people who live in European countries. Let me read you one sentence, and I could have found many others like this from the draft, which is admittedly a multi-language document, but at some points it appears to be in no known language at all. Here's a sentence. The limits of union competences are governed by the principle of conferral. The use of union competences is governed by the principles of subsidiarity and proportionality.
You're right. You're right. This was not written by a poet or even somebody of the sort of creative ability of Thomas Jefferson or James Madison, I think.
So how important is this document, actually, in the continued gestation of the of this Europe that is coming into being?
Well, I think symbolically it's very important. I mean, the fact is that the European Union, for its 50 years of existence, has been governed by sort of 80,000 pages of treaties that nobody has understood outside of Brussels, and very few people even in Brussels. As your example cited, some of the latest draft isn't all that much clearer. But in general, this constitution will be under 100 pages for the parts that anybody would ever want to read. It will be intelligible to the general public, at least in theory, and it should make it less threatening to people who often feel that decisions are being taken further and further away from their homes. And as the Union prepares to admit 10 more countries, including Poland, Czech Republic, and the Slovak Republic, and Hungary, it's intended to give the Union a much more coherent decision-making structure. And that it will do. It certainly won't be a United States of Europe, but it should have the authority and the efficiency to take decisions in a better way for the people of Europe.
Reporter Brandon Michener of the Wall Street Journal, Brussels Bureau, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.